and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Even before making landfall, Hurricane Milton spawned more than two dozen tornadoes, killing five. After the hurricane slammed Florida's Gulf Coast, rescue crews were out in full force trying to help those who were stuck.
The Tampa Bay area was spared a direct hit, but saw up to 15 inches of rain inundating streets.
Every other street, if it's not power lines and trees, it's literally floods.
That's CBS's Manuel Bohorquez reporting. With widespread flooding and damage, Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg said cleanup will take time.
The timeline is going to be dictated by safety, so I don't want to get ahead of that, but obviously the sooner the better, and I'm encouraged to see so many key roads and bridges are already up and running, but there is going to be work to restore some of the others.
President Biden says the federal government's sending the resources needed to help impacted communities recover and rebuild. CBS News Special Report. I'm Stacey Lynn.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Biden administration is announcing plans to invest almost $93 million to create jobs and reduce energy costs in rural Wisconsin. The USDA's Julie Lassa says the money will go directly to farmers, business owners, and power cooperatives. Biden was in Wisconsin last month to talk up his administration's rural energy initiatives. The Wisconsin Supreme Court is considering the governor's expansive partial veto power. The high court heard oral arguments yesterday over Governor Evers' veto last year that increased public school spending for 400 years. Justice Jill Karofsky.
This does concern me, where we have a legal scholar and he's looking at all 50 states and he's saying, Wisconsin, we don't think you're doing this right. There ought to be some limitations.
The court will hand down a written ruling in a few months. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Wood County has seen 21 confirmed cases of whooping cough or pertussis since July 30th. 13 of those cases have occurred during the last month or so. If you or your child develops a cough after known contact with a positive pertussis case, you should see your doctor to get tested and start on antibiotics. Whooping cough begins with cold-like symptoms that develop into a serious cough that can last for several months. You can find out more at dhs.wisconsin.gov or talk to your doctor. There's a free vaccination clinic in Portage County on Saturday. The Portage County Health and Human Services Division of Public Health will provide free flu and Tdap vaccinations from 9 to noon at 3349 Church Street in Stevens Point. You can make an appointment by calling 715-345-345. 5350. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
It's the Bucks and the Lakers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks host the Los Angeles Lakers tonight in a preseason matchup. At practice yesterday, head coach Doc Rivers discussed how he's teaching some of the new Bucks players how to read opposing defenses.
I'm trying to get them to see the reads, the typical basketball reads, because the more you can do that, you can literally put all kinds of things in, and then your offense becomes dynamic.
NFL Packers nearly all back at practice yesterday as they play the Cardinals Sunday. The only player out, defensive lineman Devontae Wyatt, with an ankle injury. Romeo Doubs was back, but did not speak to reporters. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers getting ready to play Rutgers. Quarterback Braden Locke asked, how much do they adjust the game plan for Rutgers' tough defense?
Yes, I think you game plan it differently, but it's still our offense. It's still doing things within what we do. We're not trying to reinvent the wheel over here. You know, we're going to do what we do and take advantage of, you know, what I'm good at and what I can process and all of that.
That's Badgers quarterback Braden Locke. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy and a low near 50 tonight. Mostly sunny and still mild tomorrow. High mid-70s. Cooler for the weekend. Mostly cloudy and low 60s Saturday. Breezy and mid-50s Sunday. With sunshine returning. Some frosty mornings possible to start next week. It's 69 degrees right now.
Bringing a house of pain.
Backside pressure, down he goes. Inside the 30-yard line.
To a game day near you.
Picked off. by Wisconsin, and the Badgers win it.
That's how you create a program. That's how you create a team.
Join us Saturday. Wisconsin hits the road to take on the Scarlet Knights. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m. on your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes, that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes, just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow.
We will have our regular Friday team of former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, media critic Mark Jacob, Courier Newsroom's Kia Vakil, and Sports with Dan Schumacher.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Thursday, October 10th, 2024. Have your host, James J. Maloff, here. In part two today at 4:30, we're going to speak with our friend Jen McNelly. She is a natural resource groundwater educator with UW Extension. Right now, we have in with us Suzanne Campbell, candidate for Wisconsin State Assembly of District 72. Suzanne, thank you so much for being here today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here and talk to you today, James.
We are going to be doing a series of interviews with our candidates coming up for the November 5th election. We'll be giving each candidate the same amount of questions, same amount of time, similar to how the great Carl Hilke always did things around here and the way we like to do things here at WFHR for many, many decades. And we're so appreciative to all of our candidates joining us. Thank you again so much for the time. And Suzanne, I like to start off asking people a little bit about themselves, their origin story, if you don't mind. So could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay, well, I was bitten by a radioactive spider. And ever since then, it's the strangest thing.
I've been doing this for years. And nobody's answered it like that. That's an interesting answer.
Well, no. Okay. So seriously, not bitten by a radioactive spider. But I was born here in Wisconsin Rapids, grew up here, went to school here, graduated from the UW at Marshfield. My husband and I have three wonderful children. They are not children anymore. We have a grandchild as well. And just have lived in this area. My folks have lived in this area and that is a pretty simple origin story.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
Been here, loved the area, done, mm-hmm. you know, lived the life, raised the kids, and done the job here.
Mm-hmm. Why did you decide to run for this position?
That's such a good question because there are a lot of reasons I think people can run for any political office. And for me, it took me a little while into the campaign to realize it really doesn't have anything to do with me. Mm-hmm. I'm here to do a job, and I'm here to do the job that the people need me to do. So there are, you know, campaigning is tough. Mm-hmm. And what I've learned during the process of this campaign is that who I am is an avatar for the what people need. And my job is to hear them. So I'm in the campaign to represent the values of the people I represent in Madison and to get down there and do good things for the people of Wisconsin.
Suzanne, what qualifies you? How do you feel you specifically can be, best represent the area?
So my career has been for the last 25 years in credit unions. And credit unions, as some people know, and now here's a plug for credit unions, are not-for-profit cooperatives. And that means that when you work in a credit union, everything you're focused on is serving the needs of the members. And so that's all I've done in my adult life is learn how I can best help the people I serve. And I do think that attitude uniquely qualifies someone for a life of public service. Hmm.
When it comes to that previous job and other jobs that you may have held, how do you feel your previous jobs have prepared you for doing this job if you are elected?
So when I have been in the credit union industry, I have done a lot of different positions, but all of them wrap around to being able to deal with budget, deal with strategic planning, be able to be future focused, be able to take lessons from the past. and take all of that information and make the absolute best decisions you can.
What are your passions, Suzanne? What would you like to focus on if elected? And it doesn't have to just be one thing. It could be multiple things.
Yeah, there are so many things. There are so many opportunities here in the state. You know, the number one and two, and maybe in no particular order, that I have been focused on this election season are probably first and foremost a woman's right to choose, a person's right to choose, and the ability to ensure that the citizens of Wisconsin that can give birth have the right to make that choice for themselves and their family. So that's huge to me, and I believe that should be one of the first things that this next session of the legislature deals with. Another thing that is very extremely personal to me is extending protections and ensuring unity and equity for people of the LGBTQ community. I have a queer child who identifies as non-binary, and they have unique challenges in their life. And I've talked to a lot of people in the area who not only have gay or queer kids, but have had to watch them leave the area because it's safer for them not to be here. So I think everything that we can do to support our kids, to support the queer adults around us, and make sure that we're all living together is another major focus of mine.
What do you feel are some of the biggest, if not the biggest, challenges facing your fellow Wisconsinites?
The economy is probably number one on a lot of people's minds, and it's an incredibly complex problem because we genuinely need to work with the industries that are creating that economy around us, and not just drive prices down, but ensure that people are being paid commensurate to their abilities and their skills. So I know that is big on people's minds.
We are speaking with Suzanne Campbell, candidate for Wisconsin State Assembly District 72. Suzanne, survey after survey, poll after poll, we are seeing people are done with the divisiveness of today's politics. How important is it to you to be able to reach across the aisle, to be able to work with the other side if you are elected?
I believe that is fundamentally how government should work. I think that that's our responsibility, not only as humans, to be able to connect in that way, no matter what we're doing, but it's certainly the responsibility of all of our legislators to be able to work together, to be able to hear each other. And the fact that we have had problems doing that in this state, it really is concerning.
And to extend on that, if elected, you plan to represent everybody, not just the people that voted for you.
That is absolutely true. That is absolutely true. I believe, as we have heard a lot this election cycle, there's more that unites us than divides us. There are people with concerns who come from all walks of life, and we all need to be heard and be able to work together.
Suzanne, you are running to represent the 72nd District. How would you describe the district?
I am probably biased, but I really honestly think it is one of the most beautiful areas of our state. Wisconsin Rapids, it's very strange to be in a race where I come from the big city in the area, but Wisconsin Rapids is our largest population center, and once we spread down into more towards Adam and Juneau County, you know, there is a really wonderfully diverse population throughout the district. And we have a lot of blessings in terms of natural resources and ability for to create industry. There I see beauty, I see opportunity, and I see just really amazing, hardworking people in our district.
Suzanne, we appreciate the time so much from you. We're all wrapping up. You have time now for final statements, if you'd like.
Oh, my goodness. So final statements. What a good, that's your gotcha question.
Yeah, it is.
Me,
it is. It definitely, yes. Statement. I did have one. I guess
yeah,
I did have
that
one.
Yeah, that was it. Okay. So what is the final thing I want people to know? I guess my major message to people is that, you know, when you reference, James, some of the division and some of the real problems politically. And a message that I've carried with me throughout this whole campaign is that that is not at the core who we are. And we all together have this ability every single day, but certainly in this election, to create a better District 72, to create a better state, to create a better country. And I believe that's what that really is, the challenge that stands before us, to make a decision to build and come together and make something beautiful is an opportunity that we have. So that's what I hope people choose to do.
Thank you very much for that, Suzanne. Thank you so much for the time, putting up with my questions and hanging out with us. We really do appreciate it. If people have follow-up questions or want to learn more about you, is there a way they can do that?
They can. I am a super cheap candidate, so you can find me on my Facebook page, which is free. So it's at Suzanne Campbell for Wisconsin, and you can check me out there, or you can email me at Suzanne Campbell for Wisconsin with the number 4. At gmail.com.
Really do appreciate what you're doing, Suzanne. We appreciate all of our candidates running. Thank you again for joining us today. Looking forward to talking again soon. Take care.
Thank you.
We'll have more of these interviews coming up, everybody. We'll be interviewing each one of our local candidates coming up for the November 5th election. We once again remind everybody out there to make sure that you are registered to vote. Go to myvote.wi.gov, find out more information about where your polling services are, and certainly if you are signed up and ready to go and ready for November 5th. We'll have more coming up here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I want to talk about tariffs. We keep hearing this economic term bandied around, and politicians who are talking up tariffs want us to think that it's a good idea to put fees on foreign goods. It's going to, like, protect American businesses and consumers. Turns out, that's not always the case. We can't tax companies that are overseas, so we end up taxing the mostly American-owned and run companies that are just bringing goods in from around the world. So if tariffs go up by 20%, history and studies show that those companies are going to pass those extra costs right on to me and you. I don't know about you. While prices are coming down, I can't afford to pay 20% more for what I'm buying. So next time you hear some politician talking about tariffs, just remember, the ones being proposed are a tax on Americans being paid by Americans. This is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Ready, set, go. Get in the game and be heard with WFHR's Playmakers. Join us 5 to 6 Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We're here to take your calls, sports takes, and ramblings. We'll have breaking stories, game day conversations with players, coaches, and you. Nobody ever made a highlight from the sidelines. Join the team here at WFHR 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, 5 to 6 PM Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for WFHR's Playmakers.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A record high number of adults with disabilities have jobs in Wisconsin, more than 178,000 as of last year. Melinda Craig is a disability employment specialist. She says workers with disabilities seem to have better luck finding jobs with small businesses.
We do find that it's a little more difficult to connect with those bigger companies to encourage them to hire individuals with disabilities.
October is National Disability Employment Awareness Month. The mice are so bad right now on Rock Island State Park off the tip of Door County that the remote spot is now closed to camping for the rest of the season. A massive infestation is reportedly chewing through tents, shoes, and even plastic storage bins. DNR wardens suspect mild weather last winter helped the mouse population on the island explode. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. A K-9 team from the Wood County Sheriff's Department receives the Meritus Article Find Award. Lieutenant Brandon Christensen and K-9 Bingo recovered a stolen firearm from an area where children play in Port Edwards. The police chief requested their help on February 14th of this year. The investigation revealed the firearm may have been hidden in a wooden area near the walking path between the two schools in the village. Lieutenant Christensen and Bingo found the firearm in a gun case buried in the leaves under the trunk of an uprooted tree. Chief Scott Drew nominated them for the award. The Fall Community Bike Ride happens next Wednesday.
The River Riders Bike Share will host the ride with Wood County Sheriff Becker on October 16th. The ride starts at 5 p.m. Bring your own bike and helmet or rent them from the River Riders at the White Sands Beach parking lot. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. Grief can affect people in different ways. When Lisa Marie Presley lost her only son, Benjamin, in 2020, she literally could not say goodbye. CNN Entertainment reports that Lisa Marie, Elvis's only child, kept her son's body at home for 2 months after his death. Presley's memoir, From Here to the Great Unknown, was published posthumously. Lisa Marie passed away in January of 2023. Her memoir was completed by her daughter, actress Riley Keough, who used tapes that her mother had made to complete the work. Keough says there are no laws in the state of California that state a body needs to be buried immediately. So they kept Benjamin's body on ice in a room where the temperature had to be 55 degrees. She also says that Lisa Marie wanted to do this because Elvis's body was kept at their home after he died of a heart attack when he was 42, which allowed Lisa Marie to take her time and say a proper goodbye. Lisa Marie Presley and Benjamin Presley were both buried with Elvis at Graceland Cemetery. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy and a low near 50 tonight. Mostly sunny and still mild tomorrow. High mid-70s. Cooler for the weekend. Mostly cloudy and low 60s Saturday. Breezy and mid-50s Sunday. With sunshine returning. Some frosty mornings possible to start next week. It's 71 right now.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
Fabulous Female Friday. We've got historian Heather Cox Richardson and Fatima Goss Graves, one of the co-founders of the Time's Up Legal Defense Fund. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Thursday, October 10th, 2024. I have your host, James, here, and we are joined right now by our great friend, Jen McNally, Natural Resource Groundwater Educator with UW-Madison Extension, Wood County. Jen, good to have you with us.
Hey, thanks, James. Happy to be here.
Always appreciate the conversation, as I always mention to you and our listeners out there. I always learn when you join us, and I appreciate the topics you touch on. One we're getting into today is an important one, but one that I don't... We hear the word nitrogen all the time. We've heard it pretty much our whole lives. Yeah. But I don't know how many of us know a definition or really have an idea of what nitrogen truly is. Can we dive? We're going to dive into that today. So let's just start right there. Nitrogen.
Sure, absolutely. I think when most people hear the word nitrogen, they're thinking of probably something like a fertilizer, right? So that's how most of us are familiar with it. But yeah, I think you're right. I don't think most of us know what the heck is it and where does it come from. So nitrogen is one of the most abundant elements in our atmosphere, which is crazy to think about. It's found in soils, plants, drinking water, everywhere. And it's a building block. It's essential to our lives. It's actually one of the building blocks of our DNA, as a matter of fact. So the reason that it gets so much hype is that it is absolutely essential for plant growth. So whether it's growing our food and our crops or our beautiful lawns or flower gardens, we have to have nitrogen in order to survive and grow. So, you know, it's... Super important.
So with some plants, they have a relationship with bacteria that I wanted to touch on, too, that I thought was really interesting. I had not heard of this before. I hadn't read in about this until your notes.
Yeah. So, like I said, nitrogen's found in the atmosphere, but plants can't use that form of nitrogen. So it has to go through a process called fixation, which is really converting it from a gas down to something that's usable for plants and, in some cases, ourselves. And so there's a few different ways that nitrogen fixation happens. One is most of it happens in the soil. There's bacteria in there that can, you know, make that conversion happen, and it becomes available for plants. So it's a nutrient that's found in the soils. Two, the super one that I think is super cool, just like you, is that there are certain plants that are called nitrogen-fixing plants, and they have a bacteria that grows on their roots that actually fixes it. And so that bacteria puts the nitrogen into the plant almost directly. So super cool. Things like our beans and peas, legumes, are nitrogen-fixing plants, which make them very cool. And then the last one that most of us are familiar with, there's an industrial process that allows that fixation to happen. And that's how we get fertilizer.
Which is all really good information, but all stuff, again, I don't think is common knowledge. I really appreciate the breakdown of that. This is where nitrogen comes from. What are some of the more important things about the cycles of nitrogen?
Sure. So that's a really important point that I'm glad that you brought up, is that nitrogen goes through a cycle, very similar to our water cycle. So as it goes, you know, it comes down as a gas, it gets converted into different forms that plants can use, and eventually it'll wind back up as a gas again. And so it keeps going through this cycle over and over again, much like the water cycle actually does as well.
You know, and as a side note, it doesn't seem like a coincidence that whether we're talking about water or nitrogen, that these aren't just things in our atmosphere or in our planet, they are in us.
Yes.
And it feels like there should be more of a understanding, a connection between us and the earth, us and that.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, while it gets hyped a lot as causing certain issues, I think it's always important to remember that it is essential for us to survive. Like, we need this element in order to be successful.
Let's dive into that, Jen. Why do we need nitrogen?
Yeah. The long and the short of it is to make things grow. That's the simple
there we
answer,
go.
Right?
And thank you for joining us today, Jen. It's true. It says it right there.
Yeah, exactly. So the big one is for crops and agriculture. Scientists estimated that if we didn't have nitrogen fertilizers added to our crops, we would lose about a third of the crops that supply our food supply, which that's huge. I mean, you know, we're already struggling sometimes for food supply shortages. If we didn't have this resource or the ability to use this resource, we'd be in a lot of trouble. But we use nitrogen fertilizer for a lot of different things, too, whether it's in your backyard or in your front yard to make your grass grow and look nice. If it's in your garden to make vegetables grow or plants, you know, all sorts of different uses for it, which is why it makes it really kind of essential. One of the things that we talk about this time of the year, it's fall. You know, people are starting to think about, okay, what do I need to do to buckle things up for winter and get ready? And a lot of advice will be for those that have lawns to put on a nitrogen fertilizer in the fall. And that's to really increase that strong root growth of your lawn going into the winter so that grass can overwinter and then start to grow again in the spring.
With the importance of nitrogen, why is there a concern for it? Why is nitrogen a concern?
Sure. So you've probably heard that adage, too much of a good thing, right? And that's the exact same case with the nitrogen. So while it is essential, we can overdo it on the nitrogen. If we add too much or things get out of balance, we can actually kill crops and plants. You know, sometimes you might see plants that are really yellow and starting to wither, and that can be a sign of too much nitrogen taking place in there. So there's a couple other concerns, too, that happen. When we apply too much, plants aren't able to use all of it. And nitrogen can go through a process where it converts into nitrate, which is what we hear a lot about associated with drinking water. And that nitrogen or that nitrate can leach through the soil. Nitrogen is tricky. It doesn't like to stick to soil. And so if it finds water, it sticks to water and it travels with it. So we get a lot of nitrogen, potentially a lot of nitrogen loss. And that's what actually leads to our nitrate in drinking water issue. So nitrate is Wisconsin and Wood County's biggest drinking water quality concern. So that's where that comes from primarily is nitrogen loss of using too much. The other thing that people may be familiar with too, if you've been along the Wisconsin River lately, you'll see it sometimes looks a little green. We got some algal blooms going on right now. So just like nitrogen fuels plant growth on land, if it reaches surface water, either through runoff or through groundwater, it fuels plant growth in our surface waters, our lakes and our rivers and streams. And so it can lead to something called eutrophication, which is excessive plant growth in those water bodies. Or if plants don't use it, algae will use it. And then we get algal blooms. So this
has such a bigger reach than just your yard. Mm-hmm. This goes so much farther than that.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you think about it, once it hits that waterway, it's free to travel and it's not going to stop. Some of you may have heard of the algal blooms down in the Gulf of Mexico or, you know, the red tide or harmful algal blooms. Those are fueled primarily by nitrogen and nitrogen coming down the Mississippi River from as far north as Wisconsin. So we really have an impact outside of us. It's not just us that are feeling the effects of this.
Any history book will show you and tell you how much of this country was built on our waterways. And it's one of the, as a history nerd, it's one of the cooler things that I think I found out about as a kid and learned about and everything. And certainly how that has impacted the Midwest here in Chicago, to Wisconsin, to plenty of other spots. But this has the other effect of that too, where these waters carry things with them. And whether it's from there to here or here to there, we're affecting other people with these things.
Yeah, and just like that nitrogen cycle, that water cycle, you know, one of the cool facts that I always tell kids when I'm teaching is we never get any new water on our planet. It's just reused over and over and over again. And if it reaches a point where we can't use it, too bad, so sad.
There's one of my favorite lines in a TV show in The Sopranos. There's a line where Tony says, buy land. God's not making any more of it.
Yeah.
It's just such a good line. That's so true. It applies to
so many different things.
It really
right?
does. Yeah. We're speaking with our friend Jen McNelly, a natural resource groundwater educator with UW-Madison Extension Wood County. Jen, how do we manage nitrogen?
Sure. So it's actually one of those things that can be pretty easy, and all of us can play a role in it. So, you know, when it comes to crops and agriculture, they actually do a pretty darn good job of trying to manage their nitrogen. If you think about it, they have to pay for fertilizer, and so it's a commodity to them. It's an input. So they're really careful about how they use it, because those margins are so thin anyway. In our own life, and even the basis behind how they use it in agriculture, it's really a matter of figuring out, okay, what nitrogen is already available to plants that you're growing? What am I growing to grow and what does it need? And then working out the kind of the timing of those two things. So to answer the question of how much is already there, really the best way to do that is through a soil test. And that's something that we should be doing on our lawns and our gardens even too, not just crops. So good resource for soil tests. Of course, I'm going to put a plug in here for UW Extension.
Right on.
We have soil test kits available in our office that you can pick up. They have to be sent down to UW-Madison, or there are local labs that will do soil testing as well. I think the closest one is in Stratford. And there are also places like agricultural co-ops and stuff that will do soil testing for you.
Just a quick follow-up, Jen. When it comes to the testing part of this, and this is something I can't take credit for this question. My father thought of this. He loves hearing your interviews. One of the things that we were talking about was, well, how often should you test?
Oh, good question. That's a great question.
He'll love hearing that.
I would say at least once a growing season. So before you apply. if you're going to apply twice a year, it might not be a bad idea to go ahead and test twice a year, just so you know what you have available already in that soil to your plants. And that's going to change on a whole bunch of different factors. You know, it's going to change on if you have been applying something like a fertilizer or other organic material, maybe a compost, that's going to change the availability of nitrogen. It's also going to depend on if you're testing end of season and you've had plant growth there as well that may have depleted the availability. So
knowing what your crops need, what your land needs is really important to this. There is no umbrella kind of resource for the, or use for this.
Yeah, no, you know, there's some general guidelines as far as like types of soil and stuff, but really if you're getting down into the nitty gritty of it, it's really dependent on different soils and then what your crops need. So yeah, the second part of that is knowing what crop are you going to grow and how much nitrogen does it need. That varies across the board. You know, something simple like our turf grass usually requires somewhere around 4 pounds per acre of nitrogen on average, all the way up to your high end. If you're going something like sweet corn or potatoes, those are way more nitrogen intense crops, you know, and if you're looking at a crop scale, that's hundreds of pounds of nitrogen that are applied per acre that they require in order to get like a decent yield. So really knowing those two things, how much do you have available, how much does your crop need, and then kind of taking those two numbers and figuring, oh, okay, this is how much I need to, you know, add additionally in order to have it that successful.
To do that math, to be able to do all that, is that something that you guys can help with at Extension? Or there are professionals also that can help with that?
Yeah, absolutely. So a lot of times when you get your soil test back from UW Extension, they're going to have some recommendations in there about what your soils might need and types of fertilizers that would be appropriate. Great resources and Extension as well are our horticulturists and our agricultural agents. They deal with this all the time. And so they're really going to be able to help give some extra guidance to folks who might be wanting some more additional information on those.
It's really good to hear and appreciate that, Jen. So much of what we're talking about here, too, is the application of the nitrogen and how much to use and not wanting any of it to be lost.
Yes.
Because the nitrogen is too smart for that. It's not going to get the nitrogen is going to get used. where we want it to be used and all that. And that comes down to the amount and so much of this that we're talking about.
Yeah. So that nitrogen cycle that we talked about, it's a naturally kind of like leaky cycle. Nitrogen doesn't hold its place in that cycle very well. So we also, in addition to knowing how much to use, how much our plants need, we really want to be careful about when and how we apply it too. Those are two additional steps that can really help turn that dial back on that nitrogen loss. So one of the things is smaller amounts more frequently. You know, it used to be a pretty common practice that we would go out, you know, right away in the spring, whether it was egg or on your lawn, you'd apply a bunch of nitrogen to really kickstart that and grow it and big. And we have found over the years that if you apply smaller amounts continually, that really helps to kind of give those plants the ability to use it before it gets lost. So that's one thing, kind of spoon feeding it. Being aware that you don't want to go past what you're supposed to be applying, but, you know, little amounts more frequently is probably a better route to go. The other thing is, just lost my train of thought. Oh, making sure that you have a plant growing that's available to use it too. You don't want to be applying too late in the season when stuff is starting to die back and it's not going to be taking it up, or too early where your plants haven't come up yet and don't have the ability to use it. That's a big one. And then the last one is kind of watching the weather and the conditions that you're applying in. For us here in sandy soil country, this one is probably a really important one. Because if we apply nitrogen or any fertilizer or nutrient for that matter, and we get a big rainstorm within 24 hours, pretty much none of that is going to be sticking around. It's mm-hmm. all going to be lost and leached. So we really want to be cognizant about kind of the conditions that we're applying that in.
And that seems like another thing that you can help our listeners with and everything at Extension as far as when to do this and keeping an eye on those things. That's again, sort of gray areas to me in this topic that we don't always get a chance to share that information or we even know sometimes. Anybody out there listening knows one of the biggest concerns in this area, one of the biggest topics here at Midday Magazine is our water quality. Yeah. And I've talked to many listeners for many years about this topic. And one of the things that so many keep coming back to is, this seems so daunting. It seems so big. And how do we fix something that's so gigantic and like water? I mean, we all know how much of water populates our planet and how much of all these other things. We're giving you some answers here.
Yeah.
There are things you can do. There are ways that we can impact this.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I hear the same sentiment a lot. It can be a very overwhelming topic for people to talk about. And one where you kind of look at it and you're like, what in the heck am I supposed to do? I personally have the feeling that any way that we can kind of turn back the dial on these different things, that's going to be a benefit. No matter if you're the largest producer out there or if you're just a very small sliver of the problem, I think we can all play a role in this. And something even simple as managing your nitrogen on your own lawn and in your own landscape helps. Mm-hmm. Every little bit helps.
It just like this excess nitrogen or these excess things can interact and go farther than we realize sometimes, the positive can as well. The good things you do can spread as well. And the more of us do that, neighbor after neighbor, zip code after zip code, we get a lot cleaner water.
Exactly. It makes all the difference.
Great conversation today, Jen. I really do appreciate it. Did we cover everything you wanted to cover with this?
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
So if people do have follow-up questions, though, better questions than mine. No, if people have follow-up questions or anything like that and certainly want to reach out to you and find out more information, how can they do that?
Sure. So if you have questions related to soil testing or, you know, specific nitrogen application rates, like I said, our horticulturists, our agricultural agents are probably great resources for that. You can find their specific contact information on the Wood County UW Extension website. If you have water-related questions regarding nitrate and drinking water, I'm a great resource for that. And my contact information can also be found on their website. Otherwise, you're always safe if you just give our office a call and ask. We can point you in the right direction to who might be able to answer that question for you. And our office telephone number is 715-346-8440.
Keep in mind, you can also find out more at their website, extension.wisc.edu, extension.wisc.edu. And be sure to follow the gang at Extension on social media. It's a great way to keep up to date on things over there and share those different events and stuff that are going on with our Extension team that maybe people might not see them otherwise. So share them on your pages as well. Jen, always appreciate the time. Looking forward to talking again real soon.
Great. Thanks, James.
Thank you. We'll know more Midday Magazine coming up for you. Because we have one more day of Midday Magazine for you, and on tomorrow's show at 4 o'clock, we're going to be talking with the Community Bike Ride and Farmer's Market with Hannah Wendels. We'll be getting into those with her. And in part two, we're going to talk about the Wisconsin Rapids Area Sports Commission. Recently had some new information come out, some new candidates. Want to get some information to you about that. All of that coming up for you. And be sure to keep in mind that any interviews you might have missed, you can catch them at civicmedia.us, civicmedia.us. Go ahead and find those, and hey, share them with your friends and family and everything on your social media. Spread the word about the show, everybody. Spread the information. More coming up for you at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
Meet Ingrid, fiery spirit, caring grandma, proud trucker.
I've logged more than 4 million miles in my truck. If people knew what I know, lives could be saved. I was driving outside of Ohio when a gentleman stopped suddenly in front of me. But it takes my 80,000-pound truck 200 yards to stop. I'd given myself extra room, but it's not a chance worth taking.
It's our roads. It's our safety.
Visit www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Hi everyone, Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats,
spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Oh, that beat. It's so 90s. That is such a 90s beat. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR. Locally grown radio. We hope you're having a good one out there. Seth, Melissa, James here with you. We're going to get into a little bit of entertainment news. The 2024 Nobel Prizes have been being awarded in the last couple of mornings. And this morning in literature, it was awarded to Han Kang, a South Korean author, for the intense poetic prose that confronts historic traumas and exposes the frailty of human life. Her book she began her career writing in magazines and everything, but this book has been a game changer.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Just an incredible work. And it's really cool to see her being noted for this. Mm-hmm. I love that we're still doing this and we're still bringing so much attention to the Nobel Prize.
Yes.
I think it still matters. I think it still means something. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty cool to see. Part of the reason I say that is because so many times, so often, like Kendrick, there's certain people that win Nobel Prizes that are known names.
Yep.
But more than often, not only are you first hearing about a person, but hearing about the work that they are doing, whether it's in science or it's in, you know, another field that we just... We have more news outlets than we have ever had. We have a 24-hour news cycle that shifts over every 20 seconds, man. It doesn't even wait for the 24 hours to wrap up. And yet we don't cover some of the most important stories out there. We're too busy giving, whether it's a politician more time than they deserve, or a celebrity more time than they deserve, or any of these kind of low-hanging fruits that quote-unquote journalism just hatches onto. Demand more. You know, and you can do that with real easy. It's where you put your time. It's where you put your, whether if you're watching TV or you're streaming something or you're listening to the radio, those things add up as far as ratings and that. And people see, oh, I see that you're listening to a lot of Civic Media. You apparently respect journalism. You apparently still want journalism.
Right.
You know, these kind of things. And I don't care if that sounds biased. I believe in what we do.
Yeah.
It ain't bragging if you can back it up. And we do. We bring you real journalism. And we're not the only ones. I'm not saying that. There's a lot of great journalism out there, but they're not being noted, they're not being seen, and these stories are not being heard and talked about.
And this is interesting stuff. It's not like these are boring stories. These are really interesting stories. It's just trying to get them out there to a wider audience.
The Vegetarian, one of her first books translated into English, won the Man Booker International Prize back in 2016.
That's prestigious.
She's won a handful of awards in her career. She's
cool.
A really, really good writer. That book in particular is a... I don't even know how to put it into words. That's one of the last books that I've read.
And
it's incredible. It's incredible. She's a great author, and I could not be happier for her. And it's great to see South Korea get some notice. That doesn't have to involve North Korea or anything
exactly.
That. Green Day is celebrating their 30th anniversary of their 1994 album, Dookie.
Wow.
30 years ago that
now
came
they're
out.
Wishing they didn't call it Dookie.
Yeah, right. And they're doing the coolest re-release ever. They are re-releasing demastered versions of each song individually.
Oh.
Demastered?
Yes, each loaded into an outdated and extremely inconvenient piece of tech.
Oh, boy.
This is so Green Day. This is so Green Day.
Is. I love it.
You're right on the point there, Melissa. So usually, for those who don't know or don't pay attention to this stuff, if the Eagles are re-releasing Hotel California, they're not doing anything different. They just remaster it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And clean up
the sound, make it sound better for digital. I mean, because when they recorded it, it was all analog stuff. So they may clean it up, make it sound better. A lot of groups now for like iconic albums and stuff, they're doing like a whole bunch of like extra tracks, and you get to hear demos and how they created the songs and that kind of stuff.
And thank you, Seth, for clearing that up. So Burnout is on a player piano roll.
Nice.
Awesome.
I love it.
Having a Blast is on a floppy disk. That's pretty good. That's a pretty good.
Oh, my
goodness.
The hard part
is going to be finding things to play those on.
Yes.
That part.
Who's got a floppy disk drive anymore?
Chump is on a Teddy Ruxpin.
I don't even
even know what that is.
You don't?
It was an old toy.
It was an old talking toy. One of the first ones, if I remember correctly. That would have had a preset number of responses, you know, gotcha. Not AI, but just would talk to you kind of thing as a thing. It was a novelty at the time back in the 80s. Gotcha, so, yeah.
Gotcha. And let's see. Longview was on a doorbell. Okay. Welcome to Paradise is on a Game Boy cartridge.
Nice.
Pulling Teeth is on a toothbrush. I'm not sure how they did that.
Pulling Teeth.
Basket Case is on a Big Mouth Billy Bass. I have to hear that. I'm trying to find it. It was all the rage for a while.
Hang them on your wall in your garage.
And they go off when somebody walks near it. I had this all pulled up, but I thought I'd be able to find the sound. I can't find the sound anymore.
Oh, that's all right.
She is on a hit clip. I don't remember what those were. A hit clip. Sassafras Roots on an 8-track tape.
Nice.
Perfect. There you go. Coming Clean is on an X-ray recorder. they've got one on an answering machine, one on a Fisher Price record.
That's kind of cool. That's cool.
All By Myself is on a music box. And When I Come Around is on a super old school wax cylinder.
As far as recorded sound goes back, it's wax. Yeah,
that's
wax
cylinder. I don't know if you can get much older than that.
You cannot. Yeah. Nope.
Just to be clear, you can't stream these songs. You have to buy the actual physical media the songs are recorded on.
Wow.
Like if you want to hear Chump, you have to literally buy a Teddy Ruxpin.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Each song is only available in limited quantities, yep. And you have to enter a drawing for the opportunity to purchase them. The most expensive one is $99 because of the Teddy Ruxpin part.
Yeah, right.
But some are as low as $19, like the floppy disk and the 8-track. You can purchase them at dookiedemastered.com, dookiedemastered.com.
Oh, so I looked it up. Hit Clips is a digital audio player created by Tiger Electronics that plays low-fidelity mono 1-minute clips of usually teen pop hits from interchangeable cartridges.
Nice.
60 seconds only.
I seem to remember, you know, vaguely commercials for that. Vaguely.
They look like little mini MP3 players.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Now I remember. Mm-hmm. Now I remember. Thank you for looking that up.
They got the little cartridges that you can slide in and out. But
never really caught on.
This is, I think part of this that is so cool to me is I remember when Green Day first got really big, so much of the punk community turned their back on them because that's what you do if a punk artist gets a record.
Gets popular,
deal,
right?
Which makes no sense to me. But. But I will say, like, this is the most punk way you could ever do something like this.
100%.
Good luck ever trying to top it to any other punk artist out there. That is fantastic. That's hilarious.
I think Hit Clips should come back because now, I mean, so the little cartridges are the size of a penny.
Oh my gosh.
The storage capacity that we have now, you could store thousands of songs on those.
You could. It's just like
comes with like a little boombox player.
Yes, that's right.
I imagine that the company might be for sale. I mean, maybe we should look into
picking it up on the cheap.
Yeah, let's just scoop it up. Yeah, let's
get it. I know after this, they might have a renaissance because of Green Day.
Let's keep it hushed. We'll keep it in.
Okay, don't tell anybody.
Marshfield Community Theater has a wonderful production coming up, Leaving Iowa. They're going to be performing October 24th through the 26th and October 27th. This is a wonderful group of people that get together and do these things, very similar to our Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. Mm-hmm. CWAC and that. We don't get to talk about Marshfield nearly enough, but we do want to send a shout out to them and wishing them a break a leg. Enjoy your run. You can find out more at marshfieldtheater.org, marshfieldtheater.org. The show itself is a really good one. Leaving Iowa is a interesting show.
I've heard of it. I don't think I've ever seen it before, though.
Yeah, I was in it.
Oh, really?
I didn't know that.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I played the little girl daughter character because you're both. You're 10 years old and you're in your 30s.
Oh, wow.
Back in 2013, I believe, 2012, 2013.
How cool is that?
Nice.
Oh, that's awesome, Melissa.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
It was an exhausting character to play.
I'll bet. Melissa plays nothing but exhausting characters.
It just seemed to be the case. Yeah.
That's all she does.
You don't take easy roles. That's so true.
Well, they're fun, though.
That's true.
Join our friends at Marshfield for this one. It's going to be a really good show, and we appreciate it.
What's the website again, James?
That is marshfieldtheater.org, marshfieldtheater.org.
Very nice.
Of course, encourage you to check out our friends over at WRCT, Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater.
We've got lots of things coming up.
Yeah. Like, mark your calendars for Thursday, October 24th, for Let the Spirit Move You, the Silver Foxes' newest production.
Yeah.
That is going to be awesome. Our Silver Foxes do amazing work.
They do.
We also want to remind you that the Spooky Karaoke Night is coming up October 18th.
That's a week from Friday, yeah.
It's just right around the corner.
It is.
Over taking place at the Lewis Canton Studio Theater from 6 to 9. All ages are welcome. Costume contest, another fun going to be a part of this. They're going to have concessions for you. One of our great hangouts, really, is our local theater. I think it always has been, but it has really become that much, much more in the years with Martha and Tim and what Gretchen has been doing recently and everything. It's really cool to see what they've been doing over there.
Okay.
WRCT has always been run by great people. Period.
Yep.
It's just what people have been doing in recent years. It's just really cool evolution of what's going on over there.
It's amazing.
And I do want to send a special shout out to the recent cast of White Christmas. I've not seen it or heard who's cast yet, but I do want to send
a congratulations. I imagine they're getting close to getting done with casting.
Yeah.
Yes. They haven't been released anything yet, but that'll be coming very soon.
Shout out to them. Big shout out to them. Whoever they are, we wish that. We appreciate them stepping down there and you know, being brave and getting out there. And we're looking forward to White Christmas coming up December 5th.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. More on that when we get closer. I'm sure the cast will be joining us here on the shows and everything. It'll be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it. Do you want to touch on this one more time before we, just in case we don't have time at the end of the day? There is a number of different ways that you can help with the hurricane relief. Certainly at civicmedia.us, you can go there right now. We have a banner you can click on that'll take you to trusted sources to know that your funds are going to the right places.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not me taking a shot at any organizations. That's
there's a lot of scams out there, so we want you to be safe and make your donation count.
Yeah. And not for nothing, but this hurricane does not care about Democrats or Republicans. And it didn't I'm not going to affect these people because they're voting for my guy. They're not doing that. So don't look at that when you're thinking about this. That has nothing to do with this. There is separation in life, and this has nothing to do with that.
Nope.
Outside of the fact of the people that are ignoring it and people that don't want to change, do something
people
about
that are
climate
trying
change.
To use it to their benefit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's wrong. It's wrong. And the people that are lying about what's going on down there is wrong.
Mm-hmm. How do we feel about scammers, gang? We hate them. We can't stand scammers. This is no, just because they're running for office doesn't make them any different than a normal scammer. Like that hustle's a hustle, man. And if there's one thing I know, it's a hustle. That is a hustle. That when you see a natural disaster and your first thought is how I can make my political gains on it or how I can make money off it, that's a hustler.
That's a hustle.
Yeah, yeah. Keep an eye on that.
Ridiculous.
Go to reputable sources. One of those is a location drop off we have where there's a semi trailer at Pick and Save here at A Street South in Wisconsin Rapids. They're looking for all kinds of basic need items, things. Look around the house. You think of things that you need, like baby formula, water, generators are certainly appreciated. Things like that, cleaning up supplies.
Rubber gloves, garbage bags. Things like that.
Yeah. That location drop-off, again, there's a semi-trailer at Pick and Save over on 8th Street South in Wisconsin Rapids. Thank you so much to everybody who has already donated to that and who is helping with that. If you have questions, you can contact Andy at 715-459-4153, 459-4153. Thank you again to everybody working on that one.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get to our news break. We'll come back. We got fun stuff in store on The Morning Show at WFHR.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, a member of National Security Leaders for America, Randy Manner. They just wrapped up a bus tour across Wisconsin. He'll join us. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
She is performing in Wisconsin. Charo, you might want to end up moving here because you're going to have that great of a time in Baraboo. Let me just ask you this. Do you like cheese?
I love the cheese. I'm going to be eating cheese for 24 hours. You have a great reputation with the cheese. Wisconsin cheese is very, very famous.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. The death toll from Hurricane Milton is now 10 as search and rescue efforts are continuing in Florida's Gulf Coast. Many residents are heartbroken after their homes were destroyed. This woman lives in Tampa.
That's what we're thinking about. See what we're going to do because we can't stay here.
Can't stay here.
No, I don't lost everything.
Governor Ron DeSantis says a whole lot of people are still in the dark.
We've got 3.2 million that are without power, 3.2 million accounts throughout the state of Florida. Since the storm hit, 880,000 have been restored.
FEMA's Marty Monday says they're responding to both of the major hurricanes in the past 2 weeks.
We got lucky that the storm weakened right before it made landfall, but it doesn't mean that there still aren't people hurting today. And we're there to assess the damages and to get them the aid that they need.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Stacy Lynn.
Join us live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. for Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Call in with your sports thoughts and feelings only on WFHR.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know.